Okay, the first idea I would like to discuss, this is Parshas Balak, is an idea I saw in a sefer called Pri Eitz Hadar. You might know who is the Mechaber. He is the Rav his name is Alexander, Rav Alexander Steinberg. He lives in Queens. He is the Rav of in Kew Garden Hills, Kila.
You talking about Parrot Steinberg?
Yes, Parrot Steinberg. Yeah,
Parrot. Are in Queens Valley.
Queens Valley, correct.
Oh yeah,
Queens Valley. Parrots, okay. Right. It says in the Sefer Alexander. That's what it said in the Sefer. Okay, fine. But Rabbi Steinberg has a Sefer called Pri Eitz Hadar. Jewish, probably things that he said in his Jewish. Some very beautiful things, and there he focuses. He says an idea which I'm not going to say exactly what he says, and say 95% what he says there in the Sefer. Short idea. I just found it very interesting, and just something, just the idea. I don't have today any big yisoidus. Just small little verloch. But something which is very interesting, the beginning of this week's parash, the first time where we find the word Bilam. Balak hires Bilam. Balak, the king of Moab, consults with his arch enemy Midian, the Zikne Midian. Rashi tells us they never got along. They were always at war, at each other's throats. But here, when they when they felt threatened by common enemy, Klal Yisrael, they had no choice but to form an alliance against Klal Yisrael.
My enemy's enemy is my friend,
right? My enemy's enemy is my friend. They had no choice but to form an alliance to protect themselves against Bnei Yisrael. They witnessed firsthand what Bnei Yisrael did to Sichon and Og, like we mentioned, as they came into the Midbar on the Eiver HaYarden, and they were afraid that they would be next, so they got together, and they figured the best thing to do was to hire the master prophet of the nations of the world, Bilam, to curse Klal Yisrael. The first time Bilam is mentioned in the parsha, and this week's parsha, in the very beginning, there is a fascinating Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, which is mind-boggling, it's baffling, and he says without any embarrassment, without any shame, very explicitly, who is Bilam? Bilam is Lavan Ho'arami. That's what he says. It's like no. If someone would say this without a Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, so you'd say this is the Zohar. It says this in one of these Hasidic Sfarim in Sefer HaGulgulim and this Sefer and that Sefer. No. Very simple. Targum is the Ikos Shebe Ikar. We have Targum Unkelus, Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, Targum Yerushalmi. These are the Ikar Perushim on the Torah. Rashi draws from them. Rashi is much, much later. These are the Ikarim. And he says this is, who is Bilam? Bilam is just another name for Love and Harami. Now that is extremely difficult, because that would have to mean that he's over 500 years old. Make the calculation, he was 500 years old. Okay, we don't know what this means. So everyone, all of the commentators struggle with this Targum Yonasan ben Uziel. How could he be 500 years old? Maybe he was, but the Gemara says explicitly that he was 33 years old when he died. So if he was 33 years old when he died, how could he possibly be 500 years old? Okay, they struggle what this means exactly. It was exactly him. It means that someone had fallen his ways. It means it was a Gilgal. We don't know what that means altogether. Or it means his neshama was quarried from the same place in heaven. Whatever that means. But in any event, obviously, the fact that he is called Lavan by the Targum means that he is associated with Lavan. And Rabbi Steinberg goes on to say, therefore we can really have a whole new look at Bilam when we study the parasha of Lavan. At the last time Lavan met with Yaakov, what did he say to Yaakov? Lavan obviously gave Yaakov a lot of trouble. He switched his wives. He really wanted to marry Rachel. He ended up giving Leah. He switched his wages. He gave him a very, very hard time. And in Parshas Vayetze, Perek Lamed Aleph Pasik Mem Gimel, the last time that they got together, Lavan says to Yaakov, Yan Lavan Vayome El Yaakov, Habonos binosai, goodbye. Yaakov secretly he escaped from Lavan. Lavan chased after Yaakov. He caught up with him. Hashem told Lavan, don't say anything bad to Yaakov. And they came there. And he says to him a few things. Let me just take a step back. This is the Perek Lamed Aleph. Perek Lamed Aleph. Ayan Lavayim al Yaakov. Habonos binosai. The daughters are my daughters. Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Mem Gimel Vayan Lavan Vayoymer El Yaakov Habonos Binosai. Your wives are my daughters, Rachel and Leah, they're my children. V'habonim bonai, all of your children, the 12 Shvatim, they're all my grandchildren, they're mine. Don't think for one moment that what you have is you're independent. Nothing you have is yours. Everything that you, Yaakov, have, when you go now, return to Canaan, remember for the rest of your life, it's all me. Attribute your success and your greatness all to me, Lavan. Everything is mine. And he also goes on to say, Yesh le'el yadi, if I really want, I can harm you. I can harm you. Where is that pasuk? I can harm you. And pasuk, go back. Pasuk chavtes in the previous parak. In previous parak, pasuk chavtes. Yesh le'el yadi. I have power. La'asos imochem ra. I can do to you, Yaakov, evil. The only reason why I'm not going to harm you is because Elokei Avichem Emesh Amar Elai, Hashem came to me in a dream last night. Leimar, Ki Shamer Lecha Midaber Im Yaakov Mitoiv Adra. Okay, so these are the two major themes that Lavan said to Yaakov at the end of their last meeting. Yesh Le'el Yadi is in my power to bring harm to you, and everything that you have is attributed to me. He's basically saying that Klal Yisrael is not an independent nation. They have no autonomy. Everything that they have derives from Lavan and from other sources. Now we can understand why Lavan, by Bilam, who is Lavan, why he repeats over and over these two themes. He rejects these two themes when he meets with Klal Yisrael. When Bilam hires him, and he comes to curse Klal Yisrael, they set up a mizbeach, three different locations, and three different times he tries his best to curse Klal Yisrael. And each time he says, let me read you the words. Vayomer Bala, here is the first time. Well, here is not. It's not the first time. It's the second. I'll go one at a time. What did you do? Why did you bless the Jewish people? I told you to curse them. I hired you to curse them. What are you doing? Vayan Bilam, Vayomer Balak, Halo Dibarte Lechaleimar, Kol Asher Yidaber Hashem Oisoy Esse. I have no power. He acknowledges here, I have absolutely no power. Let me go back. Vayan Bolak El Bilam. Me'asisili l'koyv oivar l'kachticha v'inei berach t'vorech. Vayan v'yoymar haloi eis asher yosim Hashem b'fi oso es shmor l'daber. I have no power. Third time. He says this four times. The last time here it says v'yato v'yichar af Bolak El Bilam v'yispok es kapav v'yoymer Bolak El Bilam l'koyv oivar l'kirosicha v'inei berach t'vorech zeh shlosh p'omim. V'yata brach lecha, v'yom bilam el bolak, haloi gam il malochecha, asher shalach de lai dibarti lemar, im yiten li volak mulei v'eso kesef zav, loy uchal lavor espi Hashem la'sois toivo oi ro'om ilibi, asher yidaber Hashem oi soyadaber. Four times in this week's parasha, Bilam acknowledges that he has no power. He has no power. Why does he say this four times in this week's parasha, I have no power? It's because he's coming to retract from his parting words with Klal Yisrael. The last time he met with Yaakov, he told him, Yesh le'el yadi, I can do whatever I want. Here, Bilam, who is Lavan, says to Klal Yisrael, says about Klal Yisrael, I acknowledge I have no power, nothing. Everything comes directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And finally, what else does he say? He says, Matovu oihalecha Yaakov mishkenosecha Yisrael. What is the oihal? The oihal in the two tents. Oihalecha, your tents. So simply it means, according to the simple tradition, it means your tents, it means the Beis HaMikdash, it means the Batei Knesios, Batei Midrashos. That's why we say this every single day when you come davening. But it also refers to your wives. He went from the oil of Rachel to the oil of Leah. Oihel refers to his daughters. As the last time he was there, he was searching for his trophim. By Yetze me'ol Rachel, he went to the oil of Leah. He acknowledges, Matoivu oiholecha. They're your wives. They're not my wives. Mishkin oisecha. What is the Mishkan? The children. The children of Rachel and Leah, Bilhah v'Zilpah, the children, they have formed the Hashuas Hashchina. They have created Klal Yisrael, the 12 Shvatim, and these 12 Shvatim serve as the resting place for HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shchina. They're your children. Here he's coming to reject Habonim, Habonos, Binosai, Habonim, Bonai. I acknowledge they're your wives and they're your children, and I do not have any power. So with this idea, it's a short idea, and obviously this can be developed a lot more, but it's a very fascinating idea to go study every single thing that Lavan did to Yaakov Avinu in Parashas Vayetze. And now we take the Targum Yonas and Uzil that says that Bilam is Lavan, and now when we look at what happened here in Parashas Volak and all of the things that he said and did, it all is a direct rejection and retraction of his behavior, conduct, and statements that were made back in Parashas Vayetze. And at least here are two prime examples of the rejection of the statement Yesh Le'el Yadi and a retraction of the statement Habonos Binosai Vehabonim Bonai. No, Matoivu Oiho Lecho Yaakov Mishkinosecho Yisrael. It's yours. I have no shaychus, no connection to this. It's your bracha, it's your doing. It's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, that's one short idea. Let's go to another idea. Another short idea. This is just an observation. I unfortunately do not remember where I saw this. It's a very short observation. What's going on? Who is the real wicked one? This is a Musar for life. Who is the Rasha of the Parsha? Bilam. Bilam is
one of the all-time.
He's the ultimate. He cursed. I mean, how big could it get? How big could it possibly be? He goes and he's sitting there. He's trying to curse Klal Yisrael three times. And only because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Zuchor and the Haftarah, remember the kindness that I did to you, that I did not remember at this moment in time. I was not angry at that moment in time because I was angry at that moment in time. Then the curse of Bilam would have been Chal. Bilam is on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 plus. And what about Balak? Balak doesn't seem to be so bad. Balak. In fact, who came from Balak? Chazal tell us Rus. Rus HaMoaviyah. Because Balak, they offered 42 korbanos. Bilam told Balak, in preparation for my meeting with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, we have to offer korbanos to Kadosh Baruch Hu, so I want you to build the Mizbeach. And on the Mizbeach, each of the three Mizbechos, they offered 14 korbanos, for a grand total of 42 korbanos. In the merit of Balak offering 42 korbanos, with the help of Bilam, who came from Balak, Rus HaMoaviyah, and from Rus comes David, and David sang to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shiros V'Sishbachos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not deny the reward to any of his creatures. So Balak doesn't seem to be so bad relative to Bilam. But if you look in the parasha, you would say it's just the opposite. Balak is the one that went to hire Bilam. Bilam was sitting home, he was in a restaurant, eating dinner. He's not interested in cursing anyone. He's just sitting here doing nothing. He's minding his own business. It is Balak that took the initiative to consult with Midian, and together they went and they hired Bilam. And when Bilam said, I'm not going, they said, no, you're coming. Yeah, don't tell us you're not coming with us. You're coming. And basically, yeah.
How do I defeat these people?
So they told him, hire, but who was the one that took the initiative? It was Balak.
He was desperate.
Oh, so that's the answer. The difference, but if you look at it at face value, you would say, if you look at it at face value, you would say the one that's the Rosh of the Parsha is Balak. And the one that's just an instrument, that was just an innocent bystander that was abused to carry out the dirty work was Bilam. Yet, from Chazal, it's just the opposite. Bilam is the Rasha. Balak, he's no good guy. Everyone's knocking, he's knocking, you're not going to give him Shlishi, but he's not considered to be the villain of the Parsha to the point where the Haraya, from him came Rus HaMoaviyah. That was one of the contributing factors to bring of David HaMelech. So what's going on? So this is a Musa for life. The answer is because you really can't hold Balak fully responsible. Why did Balak hire Bilam? He was afraid for his life. Mm-hmm. Here he is. He's a nation in the Middle East. He's right there, right next to Eretz Yisrael. And he sees Sichon Enoch, the two giants, the Berichim, as we mentioned in Yeshaya, the two giants, the two mighty warriors. They were wiped out. They were conquered like nothing. He was terrorized. Terrified. He was terrified of what Klal Yisrael is capable of doing. So, on impulse, he had no choice but to go and hire Bilam. Bilam, he wasn't threatened. Bilam was a citizen. He was a citizen living. Well, he was part of the nation of Moab. That's what Rashi says. He was part of the nation of Moab. Pesora is within Moab. But he had no business. This wasn't his problem. He wasn't responsible for the safety and the security of the nation of Moab. Therefore, if you're not, it's none of your business, what are you stepping up to the plate? And yes, I'll help you and I'll curse with a full heart the nation of Klal Yisrael. That's the rishus. You always have to look deeper into the Siba of everything that happens, not just to give a simple superficial look. And what if a superficial look at the parasha will tell us that the one that's the rasha is Balak, and the one that's just an instrument that's doing the dirty work is Bilam. It's not so. Balak has an excuse. Balak was terrified of what could happen, so he had no choice. To protect his country, he had to go hire Bilam. Bilam had nothing to gain. If Bilam would have said, "I'm sorry, I can't help you," it's just not the right thing to curse another nation. It's not the right thing to curse Klal Yisrael, the chosen nation of Kadosh Baruch Hu. No, I want to do it. I want to do it. It means something to me. That's a rishus, and that is unexcusable. And for that, there is no forgiveness. And he forever will be viewed as the villain of Parshas Balak, not Balak, but Bilam. Okay, let's go to another idea. Now, in this idea, I want to go to this medrash according to we just finished learning in Sefer Yishai, in Yishai, in Perek Mem Dalet. Before, I want to make an observation, which leads into this medrash. There are two people that Chazal compare Bilam to. Number one, they compare him to Moshe Rabbeinu. Chazal tell us, Lekom Kemoshe. There was no one that came to Moshe Rabbeinu. All of the Nevi'im, they saw prophecy, visions, be'asblak maria, she'ena mi'ira. All of the Nevi'im had a cloudy vision, cloudy visions. And they had to decipher what they saw, what they heard, and express it the best that they could. Moshe Rabbeinu, he saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he received his prophecy, be'asblak maria, ha'mi'ira. It's clear. Clear glass. Able to see perfectly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to say. The Chazal go further. That's only true among Klal Yisrael. But among the nations of the world, there was one person who was an equal to Moshe Rabbeinu, at least in having the gift of receiving prophecy as a gift, and that was Bilam, in order that they should not later complain and say, the only reason why we did not observe Torah mitzvah is because we did not have a Moshe Rabbeinu, we did not have a prophet. Had you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, given us a prophet that was equal to Moshe Rabbeinu, we would have been inspired, and we would have followed in your ways. So in order they should not make that claim at a point in the future, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them a prophet, Bilam, who was equal to Moshe Rabbeinu. He was not, of course, on any level of Kedusha whatsoever. He was a terrible person. His personal life was the worst of the worst, as we see from the sixth parasha, what he did with the son, with his donkey. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in order that they should not have an excuse, gave him a gift of prophecy where he was able to see visions with the utmost clarity. So here, we clearly compare Bilam to Moshe. Yeah.
Yeah, and also his prophecies have value because he's an outsider. It's coming from an outsider.
Outside, it's not fucking fun. So we clearly see here that Bilam is compared to Moshe Rabbeinu. Who else is Bilam compared to? Well, this is a very famous Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, that if you have three midos, then you are from the Talmidim of Moshe Rabbeinu. And if you have three other midos, the opposite midos, you are from the Talmud of Bilam Harasha, a Nefesh Rechava, what Avraham Avinu. It's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Perek He, Mishnah Chaf Beis, the end of Perek He. If you have three midos of Avraham, you have a Nefesh Shefala, humble, There's a dieta, and I don't remember the Mishnah by heart, but there are three midos, three powerful midos of Avraham Avinu. If you have those midos, you are from the students of Avraham. If you have the opposite, then you are from the students of Bilam.
It's a contrast, that's really not
a contrast, right, there's a contrast.
That
he was.
That's the lotion, if you don't have them.
Okay, look it up. It'll tell us. So it's a contrast. But here we're putting him on the other side of the spectrum. We're putting it. Also, when we talk about Bilam had nevuah, it doesn't mean that his nevuah was a nevuah of Moshe. It was nevuah on the opposite. Moshe Rabbeinu earned his nevuah. Moshe earned his nevuah through kedusha. Bilam was the opposite. Had no kedusha whatsoever. But in order the umos olam should not complain, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a gift. So there are two people that stand in contrast. That stand in contrast to Bilam is compared to Moshe, and to in contrast to Moshe and to Avraham. Where do we find a relationship between Moshe and Avraham? It's the pasuk in the end of Perek Mem Dalid in Yeshaya that we just what?
Just
with Rashi. Let me read you the entire the medrash in much more detail. Let me read you the medrash in much more detail. It's Perek, end of Perek Mem Dalid. It describes the Avdoi and the the messenger, the Malach. You have the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos.
We just read this morning.
What? Pirkei Avos? Yeah, exactly. Make him devar Avdo. Vatsas Malachov Yashvan. Now let me explain to this. According to the Medrash, Avdo refers to Moshe. Vayeminu Bashem Moshe Avdo. And the Malachov refers to Avraham. That's what the Medrash, different Medrash. Why is Avraham was called a Malach? He was a Tzaddik. What does this refer to? When Avraham went to save Lot from the four kings, there was a world war, the four kings and the five kings. The five kings conquered, the four kings conquered the five kings. And then the four kings took Lot as a hostage. And Vayishma Avraham ki nishma achiv. Avraham heard that his brother was captured, referring to Lot, his nephew was captured. And he chased after the four kings. Hashem did for Avraham a miracle. He did for a miracle. He was able to conquer and capture and wipe out the entire army of the four kings in one night. And it got to Chatzos. It was Chatzos Halayla. And Hashem said to Avraham, this is what it says in the Medrash, Avraham, let me stop now. Let's stop the miracle now. Because there's one whole night that I have designated as a night of miracles. And I don't want you to use up the whole night. Let me take the second half of the night and give it to Moshe. So Moshe will be able to use the koyach of the miracle of the night for makas b'chayros. Vayihi b'chatzi halayla. So the first half of the night was given to Avraham in order for him to conquer the four kings and save his nephew Lot. And Hashem said to Avraham, Avraham, let me give you an eitzah. That's what the Medrash says. The eitzah atzas malachov, the advice Hashem gave to his angel. The angel here refers to Avraham, according to this Medrash. This Medrash is in Shemos Rabba, regular standard Medrash. The eitzah Hashem gave to his messenger. The messenger, Avraham, I'll be yashlim, I will complete the night of miracles to Moshe at the time of Makas Bechores Vayi Bechatzi Halayla, and all the firstborns will die, and Paro will come out with his servants and tell Moshe, say, you can now leave Mitzrayim, it's time to leave Mitzrayim. Fascinating Medrash. The Medrash brings together Moshe with Avraham. A lot of these type of Medrashim, you know, we say, you know, in a Yishtabach. The first half of Yishtabach was written by, we have a traditional legend, Shlomo HaMelech. And the Chasima of Yishtabach, we have a tradition, was written by Avraham Avinu. So there, you know, you bring together, what is the connection between Avraham and Shlomo HaMelech? Shlomo and Avraham. Okay, but here we have a Medrash which brings together Moshe with Avraham. The two halves of the night. What is the significance? What is the meaning? What's the significance? So it's a very obvious connection between the two. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was recruited by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to redeem the Jewish people and tell them, Pokot Pokati, what did Moshe Rabbeinu say? Shlach, shlach, noa biya tishlach. Shlach, is that the pasuk? Shlach, noa biya tishlach. And Chazal interpreted that, is Moshe asked Hashem, will this be the final geula? And Hashem said to Moshe, no. You're leaving Mitzrayim early. You're only here for 210 years. You were supposed to be here for 400 years. Unfortunately, the B'nai Shul, they sunk to a level of tumah where I have no choice but to redeem them prematurely, but they're going to have to pay the price. And the price will be paid during the long years of Golos that we suffer today, Golos Edom. So it's not going to be the final Gula. The final Gula will come at the end of days. It's not the end. So Moshe said, if that's the case, I don't want. Shlachna b'yat hishlach. I don't want. If I'm not going to be the final Goyal, what's the purpose? Just to take them out so we should have more tsaros later on? I don't want this. Bring the final Gula. Hashem said, no. The Gula is not coming too bad. You have to do what you have to do. So we see there's the Goyal Rishon and there's the Goyal Acharon. The Goyal Rishon is Moshe Rabbeinu. The Goyal Acharon is Eliyahu, which really brings in the Malchus of David HaMelech. Melech HaMashiach. Melech HaMashiach, Zera of David. Where did David come from? David came from Lot, from Moab. Where does Moab come from? From Lot. What's the connection between Moshe and Avraham? This story. Avraham here needs a miracle to conquer the four kings who have conquered the five kings. To save who? To save Lot. Why is it so important to save Lot? Because Lot, in Lot, are the roots of the Goyal Acharon. Lot is the makar of Melech HaMashiach. Lot had two daughters, and the two daughters produced Ammon and Moab. Moab produced Balak, who produced Rus, who produced David, who produced Melech HaMashiach. And all that's part of Eliyahu Navi, which is the herald of the Melech HaMashiach. Over here, Avraham needs a miracle. He needs a miracle to save Lot. Why? Because he needs to preserve the Goyal Acharon, the Malchus of David, Mashiach ben David. Who is Moshe Rabbeinu? Hashem says to Avraham, let's save half the miracle for Moshe. Who's Moshe? Moshe is the Goyal Rishon. The entire spectrum from beginning to end. The first Goyal is Moshe. That's one half of the night. The other half of the night was Soif Machshav, Soif Maisel Machshav Atchil. The first half of the night was for the Goyal Acharon of David. So we can understand the relationship between Avraham and Moshe in this particular incident, where we're taking the night and we're splitting the night into two parts, one to preserve the Goyal Acharon and one to preserve the Goyal Rishon. What do we have in this week's parasha? We have Bilam. Who is Bilam? Bilam stands against the nemesis of two people, Moshe and Avraham. What is Bilam doing in this week's parasha? It's exactly what's happening here in this week's parasha. The entire spectrum of the Goyal Rishon all the way through the Goyal Acharon. How does the parasha begin? Balak says to Bilam, Hinei am yotza min Mitzrayim. I see here a nation who has come out of Egypt. They're conquering the world. They already wiped out Sichon v'Og. That's the beginning of the parasha. Hinei am, and he corrects him. He says to him, it's very interesting, his correction. He says, no, it's not in the past tense. They are always leaving Mitzrayim. Let me read you the words on the beginning of the parasha. He sends for him, he says, V'yato. Hinei am yotza mimitzrayim. Hinei chisos ein aretz hu yoshev mimuli, they're right opposite me. Come and help me, I'm in a lot of trouble. And he tells them, no, it's not hinei ham hayotza, hinei ham hayotzei mimitzrayim. First thing he corrected, it's not the pshat that they're yotza, they're not finished. They're always in this, that's another drush. Hayotzei mimitzrayim, he acknowledged v'yichas ein aretz. So he says, fine, I'll help you out. I'll help you. I'll do your bidding. And what does he really accomplish? What exactly did Bilam really accomplish? He told them to build a Mizbeach. And he told them to bring 14 korbanos. Didn't work. Another Mizbeach. another 14 korbanos, another mizbeach, another 14 korbanos, for a total of 42 korbanos. And Chazal tell us in the merit of Balak listening to Bilam by offering the 42 korbanos. We mentioned this. What came from Balak? What came from Balak? He was, from him came Ruos Hamoviah, which produced David, which gave a Kadosh Baruch Hu Shivus V'Sishvachos. So look what's happening over here. They're starting off, Bilam starts off by being told, we have a nation that's Yotzam in Mitzrayim. You're going to be the solution to put an end to the Goyal Rishayin. You're going to put an end to this. The Goyal Rishayin, it's not Yotzah, HaYotzeh. There's a process now, there's a Moshe Rabbeinu that's in the process of taking the Jewish people out of Egypt to go into Eretz Yisrael. There's a Goyal Rishayin that's now in progress. I want you to put an end to that. And what does he do in the process? He guarantees there'll be a Goyal Acharon. There'll be a Goyal Acharon. That's exactly what happens here in this week's parasha with Bilam. Who is Bilam? Chazal compare Bilam to two people. Or he stands in contrast to two people. Avraham and Moshe. What does Avraham and Moshe have in common? We just learned it today. Hashkocha Pratis. We learned it today in Yeshayah. The pasuk of Avdi and the Eitzah of the Malacho. Hashem split the night between Avraham and Moshe. When did Hashem split the night for Avraham? To save the Goyal Acharon. Who did he give the other night to? Other half of the night to Moshe, for the Goyal Rishon. Two people. Who's Bilam? Chazal compared to these two people. What's happening in the parasha? Exactly these two parts of the process. Yoytzei b'Mitzrayim, and to build the mizbachos in order to preserve it, to guarantee the Goyal Acharon. Okay, another idea, another short idea. What happened over here in the sixth parasha? What was the koyach? What was the koyach of Bilam? I know exactly when Hashem gets angry. Here I know where this far comes from. This far, it's not exactly what he says, but it comes from Rabbi Bernard Weinberger, in the Sefer Shem and Atoiv. He was the Rav of the Young Israel of Williamsburg. Of Brooklyn,
which was in Williamsburg.
There was
a Young Israel Williamsburg, there was a Young Israel Williamsburg, which was in Bushwick.
Okay. Trivia. We have to know. We can go on Jeopardy now. So he says an idea. Now, I want to elaborate a little bit more on what he says, but it's basically, so he says a beautiful idea, a very posh idea. The donkey slams Bilam into the wall three times. And he says to him, and then what does Bilam do? He hits the donkey. The donkey opens up. And he says to Bilam, what are you doing to me? Why did you hit me? Zeh shalosh rigolim. Rigolim. Well, one time it says palim and rigolim. And Chazal, that, what's this funny expression, rigolim? It should say palim. And the Chazrashi on the pasuk says, he hinted to him that you're trying to uproot a nation that observes the shalosh riglim. Will never be successful. Klal Yisrael is such a chosh of a nation, they observe the shalosh riglim. What does Rashi mean? What does this mean here exactly? So we have to answer, Rabbi Weinberg says something, beautiful idea. He says, we have to understand, what was the koyach of Bilam, the curse? Anyone can get up and issue a curse. Okay, not necessarily so. Obviously, there's some chachm that we are not aware of what this was all about. We're totally lost from us. But Chazal tell us part of the chachmah, part of the talent that Bilam had and no one else in the world had was timing. It's not just a koyach of the koyach to issue a klala. You have to know the exact moment when to issue the klala. Because every single day, at a very precise moment in time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is upset. He's upset with the world. The world is not fulfilling his will. And at that moment in time, the klola can have an effect, and Michal can cause harm to whom it's directed. Bilam knew how to be mechaven the zaman, the exact moment in time. What long comes the donkey, and the donkey says to Bilam, you think you're koyach, is because you know how to be mechavin the zman. Klal Yisrael is a nation that observes the shalosh regal. What is the difference between the mo'adim and Shabbos? Shabbos kvihi v'kaime. Shabbos occurs every single 7 days. There is no ands, if, or buts. Every single 7 days is Shabbos. It's set in the calendar. But the Shalosh Regalim, and for that matter, all of the Mo'adim, which are all part of the Regalim, that depends on the Kviya Diarcha, on the decision of Bezdin. Bezdin has power to change the calendar. If they wish, they'll add a day. If they wish, they will detract a day. If they wish, they'll add a month. If they wish, they will not add a month. They have the power to play around to determine the Zaman. And what's the deeper meaning? So we have to go back to the Medrash. The Medrash says that when exactly does Hashem get upset during the day? He gets upset at the third hour of the day. What happens at that point in time? When all of the kings, they wake up. The kings sleep late. They have nothing to do. They don't have to make parnasa. So they wake up 3 hours into the day. They put on their crowns. And after they put on their crown, the first thing they do is they bow down to an idol. At that moment in time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets upset. What are the Shalosh Regalim? The Shalosh Regalim are all about giving cover to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's all the opposite of what the kings. The kings, they are not dependent on Zaman. They enjoy themselves. When it's good for them, when the Zaman is good for them, that's when they wake up. They use Zaman for their own benefit. It's enjoyable to sleep late. When they wake up, it's a good time for them. They put on their crown. And when it's good for them, they will worship an idol. Klal Yisrael is just the opposite. The only reason why, the only consideration that Chazal have in determining the calendar and changing is when it's good for Klal Yisrael. When will be the time of the year when the Klal Yisrael can serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the utmost? If the roads are muddy, and the Bnei Yisrael are not able to be oil in the regal so that they can bring karbanos and they can serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then they will change the Zman. It's not just the difference of Zman that Balak knows to how to predict time. Balak knows the time that's good for the kings of the world. He knows, when does Hashem give, when the Bilar, Bilam knows the time, not that he knows, he relates to the time that's good for the people, for the kings of the world. They're lazy. They use time, they abuse time. They wake up late, and when it's good for them, at that moment in time, they'll worship idols. Klal Yisrael is in control of time, not for their own benefit. The only reason why they make decisions and change Zman is so that it should be for the utmost benefit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to maximize the Kavod Shamayim. So that is what the Otzim is telling him. You think you're a Baki in Zman. You're a Baki in Zman that's for selfish reasons. You'll never have a koyach to curse Klal Yisrael, who has control over time, not for selfish reasons, but in order to be mechabed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, another vart. This is a cute vart, okay, cute little vart. There are two people that predicted the future, that saw the future. And this is a drush. This is not a real vart. This is a drush semi-slash, like a parparot. There are two people that predicted the future. Who are they? Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu called his children, he osvu, v'yagidu lechem esa shayikra be'achar esayam. Gather together. And I'll tell you what's happening at the end of this. And all the children come together. They were hoping that Yaakov Avinu would reveal to them the Kates, the time of Mashiach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away that vision, but he began to give them brachos. But the brachos, if you learn the Rashi's in the end of Parashas Vayichi, all of the brachos allude to major events, world events that will happen in Yimos HaMashiach. So he did not actually reveal to them b'diyuk, the Zman of the Kates HaMashiach, but he did reveal to them events and things that will occur at the time of the Geula. That's a given. Who else had an opportunity to see the end of days? Bilam. That's the end of this week's parasha. At the end of this week's parasha, on his own, he says, V'yatan shvi, hinni holech liyami. This was unprovoked. He wasn't even asked to do this. He tried to curse Bnei Yisrael three times. And then he was dismissed. Balak said to him, get lost, you're good for nothing. I thought I would give you cover, you're not getting any honor, you're not getting anything, you're not getting any money, you're not getting any payment for your services. Okay, I'm going, but let me just give you some advice. And he sees the Achris Hayamim. V'yisam mishlev ayamar, nu'um bilam b'noiv aru, nu'um hagever shesum oyin, nu'um shemeim reikel. And he goes on to describe, erenu v'loyata. Ashrenu v'loy karov. Dorach koychov miyakov v'kam shevet miyisrael. U'machatz pa'asei moyov v'kartar kol b'nei shes. And he goes on to describe Edom. If you read the Rashi, he goes on to describe the military power that B'nai Yisrael will have achris hayom. You have to read the Pesukim, keep all the Pesukim. The incredible might, military, physical power, control, B'nai Yisrael will achieve achris hayom. When Yaakov Avinu describes achris hayom to his children, he doesn't talk about the wars and military might. He talks about spiritual accomplishments. You have to study the Psukim of Yaakov Avinu and the Psukim of Bilam. It's amazing. This is all about history. You know, you take a course in history. History is all a matter of interpretation. You can take the same exact events. How do you interpret the events? I talk about the Tisha B'Av is coming up soon. Talk about the Crusades. How do you describe that period, the first crusade? How do you describe it? So if you study the chronicles of the secular historians, they'll give you a very elaborate, detailed story. And we'll study the Rishonim, we'll study the kinos, the ones that we read, there are four kinos which we read, there are other kinos about times of the crusades. They have a whole different look. It's a whole different perspective to what's going on, what's happening. It's all a matter of interpretation. You can see exactly the same thing, and one person will describe it from his perspective, and another person will describe it from their perspective. Just like if someone is in the middle of the room, and you ask a person on the left, where is he? He's in the north. And you ask a person on the other side, where is he? He's in the south. They're describing exactly the same person. Where does he stand? He's in the north. He's in the south. How can they both be right? It all depends where you stand. It all depends on your perspective. Yaakov Avinu and Bilam both saw the same period of time in a vision. Yaakov Avinu describes it in spiritual terms. Bilam describes it in materialistic terms. Because Bilam was kulagashmi. He was the person that was pursued his material desires. Yaakov Avinu was kula ruchni. When Yaakov Avinu was dying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu closed his eyes. Yaakov Avinu, when he revealed, HaKadosh says, in Nistam Einav, his eyes were closed. He wanted to reveal the Kates, the actual Zman, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu closed his eyes. He was unable to see the exact moment of Nist, and also after he died, Nistam Einav, says the Efesh Nemedesh, Hashem took away his vision to see the exact moment of Bilam. Over and over in this week's parasha says, Shesum ha'ayin, open eyes. He always describes himself as Yatzchak Sheyatzchak Amayisa Vaymar Benum Bilam Benoy Vavnum Agever Shesum. He described himself with other parts of the pasuk. The other parts he described himself with open eyes. Gilu, he described himself. You have to find the correct pasuk with open eyes, describing of what he sees. Let's go back to the beginning of the parasha. He described as open eyes. What do we do every day? Every single day, twice a day, we recite Kriya Shema. What is the minute? When we say creation, what do we say? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elohim, Hashem Echad. What does it mean according to rational interpretation? Hashem was Hashem today, or one day be Echad will be one over the entire world. We are describing Achris Hayamim. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elohim, who is today is only our God. The day will come, Echad will be one. We refer to Achris Hayamim. Hashem Elohim, Hashem Echad. Will one day be Echad. When we refer to Achris Hayamim, do we want to relate to Bilam? Version of Achris Hayamim, Or do we want to focus on Yaakov Avinu's version of Achas Hayamim? Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, when he described Achas Hayamim, it was with closed eyes. When Bilam describes Achas Hayamim, it's with open eyes. Therefore, Gilo Yinam. So therefore, what do? We cover our eyes. We allude, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. We're yearning for the time that it's going to be Echad. Thou focus should be the Echad. The Iker is the Ruchnius of Yaakov Avinu, who predicted with closed eyes, not with the prediction of Bilam that predicted the future with open eyes. So this is the little time of the minhag, you know, one of the minhag is a good title for the minhag. Why do you cover your eyes when you say Shema Yisrael? Simply, you cover your eyes, you don't want to be distracted. But obviously, there's a lot more to it than just that. And we want to focus on the Achres Hayam of Yaakov. Have a good Shabbos. Of course.
Yeah.